We spend significant time scrutinising exactly the best possible layout for each individual flat, and I hope when that comes to us selling them, that's recognised.
This is the In-House Podcast with Murray Henderson and Jim Webster.
Hello and welcome to the In-House Podcast with me, Murray Henderson.
And Jim Webster. This morning we're interviewing Andrew Duncan from Kelvin Properties.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Interviewing sounds very serious.
Yeah, it did sound serious, but you know, sometimes we like to be a little bit serious and every now and again we like to have a bit of fun. So we've obviously worked together for quite a while now, but perhaps could you tell us just a little bit about Kelvin Properties?
We have worked together. We worked together in my previous role with another business, just probably going back maybe 7 or 8 years now. So probably been quite a journey for us. I joined Kelvin Properties 3 years ago now, and Kelvin are essentially an urban regeneration business. We focus specifically really on the delivery of brownfield regeneration sites. We've done a lot of conversion projects, got a few of those in the pipeline, but we've got a bit of a mixed cross-sector development. We do private rental developments, then a lot of private for sale, and we're just about to launch our first student development.
Well, we're working with you on Napier's Hall Street, and I suppose the focus of today's discussion on restoration. Is there any particular kind of focus for you in restoration projects, or can you maybe tell us a little bit how they've come about over the years?
They've come about fundamentally through Stephen, who founded Kelvin Properties. So Stephen McKechnie founded Kelvin, and really that was born out of the fact he's got, you know, a reasonably large property portfolio of his own, and that really then led him into doing some of his own refurbishment projects. And I believe the first one was a development in Newton Mearns. And the business has really just gone from there. He's really led all of that. And Stephen's comfort and ability to deliver on some fairly complex conversion and restoration projects is kind of testament as to what we're doing at the moment and how the business has evolved within that sector. Because I wouldn't say there's an abundance of developers who would have a focus on that within Glasgow, and I'd like to think we're one of them, and really that's because of Stephen's background and the experience in the projects that we've delivered to date.
Andrew, we're obviously in the midst of site activity on Napier's Hall Street at the moment. Perhaps you could just give us a little bit of background around how you approached that project initially and the process we went through to get that going.
The site was owned by Glasgow City Council, so it was a formal marketing process. We'd obviously engaged with House really early on and were kind of delighted with the way those plans had evolved. We were successful at a very competitive closing date, and ultimately the proposal that we'd ended up with was a mix of conversion and new build, which we were delighted with. I think, you know, Napier's Hall Street, in terms of where it sits in Glasgow, is a prime West End location, really close to Great Western Road. And it really fitted our business very, very well. It was a perfect blend of conversion, which we've got a lot of experience in, and a new build block, which sat really nicely alongside it.
Andrew, generally you work closely with Murray through the early stages and through planning, with myself working with other members of your team, Johnny and Sam and David and other members. In terms of seeing a potential project, what gets you excited about a project?
I think really it's when you start to see the initial design proposals and start to get a feel for how that could actually come forward. That's very exciting. And even more so, I would say, when you're actually looking at a site like Napier's Hall Street, where you've got a mix of conversion and new build, and the harmony between those two buildings, you know, a new penthouse level, the landscaping between how that will all sit. I mean, all of that I find very, very exciting. And I think in terms of kind of taking that step forward, when you look at the new build block that we're doing, we're utilising the entire roof space as a residence roof garden. You know, as I said, we've got a new penthouse level on the old building. I think how that particular site will come forward is quite unique, and there's an awful lot in all of that to really be quite excited about.
You and I had a wander around the building recently, and it was actually nice to see, some of the questions you had for me on some of the historic detailing, the ability to enjoy the wonderful light that was coming in through the building. And I think we're obviously looking to try and create a really strong community for people in that area. Retrofit sustainability targets are obviously quite important in context of the wider sustainable landscape at this moment in time. I'm assuming that's obviously a key part of Kelvin's approach to development generally.
It is, absolutely. And I think the one thing I would stress really
in terms of the restoration is that restoration is a big part of our business, but only where it's really viable to do it. Not every project with existing buildings can be a restoration and retention. It just isn't viable. But the buildings where we can restore and convert is a huge focus for us. And in terms of the sustainability there, that's really all centred around the fact that you're able to work with the embodied carbon, you know, which has huge, huge savings across the kind of life cycle of the development. So that, I think, for us, in terms of this being our fifth restoration project, is pretty significant in terms of us being able to utilise existing buildings themselves. And that's something that we'll look to continue with, and kind of hope that that's supported planning-wise to help us try and achieve those goals.
Andrew, you mentioned planning is a key factor in terms of everything that we do. How do you find the design process as you work through it from that initial identification of a potential project? What are the kind of key elements that you makes for a successful design process that, as a client, provides the best design and the best homes for people to live in ultimately?
Early engagement with planning and getting really robust feedback makes a huge difference for us. I'm sure you guys would agree with that. And that's not always easy to get. You know, there's obviously cross planning within Scotland. There's a real lack of resource there that's available, and it makes that difficult because I think you want to have a robust period before the submission to really feel like you've closed out a lot of the key aspects. But, you know, for us contractually, that just isn't always possible. Ultimately, developers generally will have a period to actually achieve their consents, and there's only so long that we could wait in terms of submission for you to actually close out a lot of those points. But certainly, the more robust that initial pre-app period can be, I think that makes a massive difference from submission onwards.
Yeah, I think we find that whole process pretty challenging. I think the key thing as architects and clients working together is that we are clear on what those challenges are from the outset. As you know, we've had some challenges in recent times, but ultimately in the end, if we have followed a kind of thorough design process, a collective strive towards the best quality, then in the end, I think that the types of communities that you're certainly bringing forward and that we've worked with you together, I'm sure are testimony to just how solid that process is. Naples Hill Street in itself, through that planning process, was unanimously consented, which was probably a shock to all of us, I think, given some of the challenges, engagement with local community stakeholders, etc. But I think in itself it shows that if we do follow the right process, that we can end up with some really good quality.
The feedback we all had from the planning committee was,
and it was really refreshing to hear councillors across the different parties all speak so positively about a development. But I think largely, obviously, that centres around houses, designs, and how you'd progressed all of it. But I do think, really, this site should be a sort of great example of utilising an existing building, bringing that back to life, restoring all its features, and having a new build block positioned nicely alongside it. You know, that's something that I know that Glasgow are desperately keen to do, to try and see more buildings brought back into residential use within the city. And I think how this has evolved, it should be raised as a great example of something that can be delivered in the city.
One of the things, working with Kelvin and seeing how the team has grown over the last months and years, is that everybody's incredibly passionate in terms of what they do. And the question is really, so we'll walk around site. Stephen, who owns the business, has walked around and is kind of articulating in terms of what he believes that is good about the project and what he wants to see in the project. What do you think makes a good home?
Well, I mean, the design of it is the fundamental point. I mean, a good home might vary slightly between people depending on what stages of life they're at. For us, a good home really centered around excellent design, really trying to put yourself in there. I mean, we spend a long time scrutinizing every single flat type. We go through each flat type, we assess storage space, boiler positions, kitchen layouts. There is no template standardized Kelvin flat. Every site is different, every site is unique. And I really genuinely believe we spend significant time scrutinizing exactly the best possible layout for each individual flat. And I hope when that comes to us selling them that's recognized.
Yeah, I think also the exciting part of that is that working in restoration is that we're given some challenges that present genuinely unique living conditions. Napier's Hall Street in itself presents some wonderful opportunity to have dual aspect apartments with that secondary aspect being internal to a historic atrium space, borrowed light from the roof lights above. We're able to put contemporary penthouses on top of that historic building and merge old with new kind of seamlessly. And those challenges, I suppose, are sometimes unseen by those that are just looking at application drawings. When you think about the detailed context of that, the interaction across design team members, and more critically in recent times, the hike in construction costs. What challenges do you think there are around cost and viability specific to restoration, given the extent of historic stock in our home city of Glasgow and beyond?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I'm not sure the viability of all of that really lands in terms of some of the planning documents that have come out in relation to the retrofit for residential within the city. So the costs of refurbishment are higher than new build, and secondly, the risks associated with it are a lot higher. I mean, fundamentally, you will not know the cost of these until you are stripping walls back and generally taking everything back to the brickwork. I know that we've had some challenges on that on Napier's Hall Street. So to support all of that with where build costs are right now, you're really looking at fairly high pound per square foot sales values to support that, to make it all viable. And we don't believe that there are large parts of the city centre that could support it. And that's on the basis of the evidence we have from main sales agents within Glasgow. We've found where we've done refurbishment projects are Newton Mearns, Broomhill in the West End, Napier's Hall Street here. So they're prime areas within Glasgow that generally will support a higher pound per square foot. And with that, we've been able to make some of them viable. But the city centre is a challenge. There is a reason really that there are very little, if any, conversion projects coming through within the city for residential. And I don't see that changing in the short term. And that's based on our experience around cost. I think that'll be difficult to see how the numbers that Glasgow believe can come forward will actually come forward.
Andrew, on that, what's next for Kelvin Properties? And can you tell us a bit about any of your forthcoming developments that you have in the pipeline?
Napier's Hall Street, obviously, we've recently started, which we've covered, and that's going to be a key project for us for the next sort of 15 to 16 months. We have a very exciting project coming forward in Finiston, which House have also been involved with. Planning was a challenge there, but we've got a full detailed planning consent for 59 apartments in the heart of Finiston, an incredibly exciting project for us, and that'll be something that we'll look to start next year. Alongside that, and we have another project for our first ever student development, which we are just about to launch planning for, and we'll look to start on site there sort of Q3 next year. So they're two really pretty significant projects for us. There are others that we are looking at and are more speculative at this stage, but they are two pretty significant projects for our business and something that will be a big focus for us to get out the ground.
Andrew, that sounds like a really exciting array of projects that are coming forward with Kelvin. Is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Yeah, I would just say that it's been fantastic working with House. I think both our businesses have evolved the last few years. You've been instrumental in us delivering a few key projects, And, looking forward to working with you and Jim going forward.
Thank you, Andrew. This has been the In-House Podcast. You can listen to all episodes online at house-collective.com.